Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 16 through 21. Our focal verse this morning is going to be around verse 17, but we're really going to walk through all of this. Now, if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we've been in what we're kind of calling a mini-series through the season of our Savior. 2 weeks ago, we talked about why we needed a Savior, and we walked through man's decrepit state, our sin, and how God looked out of heaven in spite of our sin and sent a Messiah, an unmistakable Messiah named Jesus. And during this time of year, we celebrate his birth. That is the reason for this part of the season. Then last week, we looked at the idea that we have a Savior. And though we have the need for it, he comes and perfectly overshadows our need with his love. And through that, we find forgiveness. And now we no longer have that debt of sin. And with that, we have the hope of eternal glory. But also, while on this earth, the hope of transformation and change. So all of that culminates today with what we do with all of this. We need a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. And we have a Savior. And so today, as we look at this, it now begins to kind of help us to understand what we do with this. Now, certainly, we understand that as Paul is writing this part of the letter, he is reminding the Corinthian believers that they were in a decrepit state, but they had been saved and made new, and now they had a mission to be, as he'll call, the ambassadors of Christ and his love and his truth. Now, we know a little bit about the city of Corinth. It was not unlike what we find in American culture today. They had walked away from the truth. They had bought in to the lies of culturalism and convenience. And it was just a wicked and distorted place. And in the midst of that, God's light shines through the church. Probably many in that church, and that they were asking the question, why right now? Why are we burdened with this? Why are we the ones that have to lead this city as ambassadors of Christ to show them the love? Why are we the ones that God selected? And in the two letters that we have that Paul writes, what we find is we can't always understand why God picks certain people for certain things, but we trust his divine will. He's picked you, he's picked me for this moment. No matter what the violence or the uncertainty or the chaotic world we live in, we are meant to be his ambassadors and nothing else. Let's pray. We'll read together then and then walk through. And I have 4 points this morning that I hope will help us to further kind of understand how we are tasked or privileged, if you will, in sharing our Savior. Let's pray first together. Father, thank you this morning as we kind of sit silently before you and ask you to open up our hearts and our minds right now to be able to focus in on you. I believe, just like you've chosen us for a time like this to be in this world, to be in this nation, you've also chosen us to be here this morning. In kind of the lull before the hectic week, with Christmas coming in 2 days, it's a time for us to sit quietly perhaps and just kind of soak in your presence, to be reassured, to be comforted, but also at the same time, I pray, to be challenged with your truth. God, every one of us as believers have a great privilege in knowing our Messiah Jesus, but with that comes a great responsibility to share that Savior with all those that we come in contact with. So God, I pray as we look at Paul's writings this morning that are divinely inspired, that as believers, you would begin to help us to understand maybe more clearly today that challenge, that responsibility. And as we're thinking through our week and going into family dinners and places that we're going to possibly be around people who don't know our Messiah, maybe it's this year that we're to share that truth of Jesus and who he is. Maybe it's culminated in years of witness, and this year we just continue to share your love, even with those sometimes that are unlovable. Now God, I pray for the lost person this morning, who may be here in our sanctuary or may be watching this at home. My prayer for them is that maybe for the first time With great clarity, your Spirit guides them to see the state of their life, the sinfulness. And as we talked 2 weeks ago and carry into this message today, their desperate need for a Savior. Well, Father, the good news this morning is Jesus is the Messiah. He is our Savior. And so I pray this morning you would convict their hearts. And as we walk through this and get close to the end and have our time of commitment and invitation, that they would be ready to come and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, Father, bless us as we read your word together. Pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We start in verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as I've said. And he begins. Now, I got to kind of tell you, chapter 5 and then verse 16 builds on the prior 15 verses, okay? And he is walking through this whole concept of being an ambassador. Now, I think we all understand what an ambassador is. We're seeing this breaking in our news, it seems, every day with new ambassadorships being named by our president-elect. And so we understand that that person is meant to be a representative. It's meant to be someone who is sent into a foreign land, as we understand it, and they are to speak on behalf of those that send them. And in this case, it would be our country, our values, the desires and the work of our country. Well, you as an ambassador of Christ are going into a foreign land called the world, and you're to represent Christ, not yourself, not what you think, but you represent Him, even sometimes when it's difficult, uncomfortable, and just downright difficult, hard. We have to represent. And so that's what He's trying to help them to understand. They're being persecuted. They're being outcasted by this community. But in spite of all of that, God has purpose for them. We start reading in verse 16. So we have stopped, Paul says, evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. Now, when I read that, I hope you see kind of what he's saying here is the change and the transformation. Paul no longer sees the world like he did before he knew Christ. And probably, he's might even maybe alluding to that as he's grown deeper and experienced more of God's grace and work and being used by God, he now is beginning to see the world even more differently than he did, say, when he first started this journey. Well, it's the change. It's the transformation. The great news about our Messiah is that he doesn't leave us the same. And the more we grow closer to him, the more of a viewpoint we have that has changed. So no longer do we see him the same as a lost person. Now we see him as our Savior, our Messiah. It also now begins to change the way we see those around us. The lost, the hurting, the pain, the sin, the decrepit state, and understanding that we have no greater privilege than to share that in the way we live and the way we share, talk. He goes on. Verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and the new life has begun. Praise the Lord. Underline that. Double underline it. Highlight it. That is your testimony. That's the message you're sharing, is that God has made me a new person. My old is gone and now I have new meaning and purpose. He goes on, verse 18. And all of this, if we didn't already know this, by the way, all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task, listen to this, of reconciling people to him. That word reconcile is just bringing people to him and letting God's power change them through the work of the Holy Spirit, and now bring them to submission to accept Christ as the Messiah, and now begin the journey that you're going through. Reconciliation is that. And that's what he will call the ministry of reconciliation. That's being an ambassador. That's sharing the gospel. That's telling other people about how their need can be met by Jesus the Messiah. And by the way, the only way that need can be met, and that is the forgiveness of our sins. He goes on, verse 19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. He goes on, verse 20. And let me say this before we move on. Everything we do as a church, everything that we invest in, everything that we put energy in, everything that we put money in, should ultimately come back to this ministry of reconciliation. God's planted this church for that purpose. He's called you to be a part of this church, not to take, but to give toward that and be a part of the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, for God was in Christ. Well, verse 20 is where we left off. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this ought to be read next to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and following. Because when we see the charge of the church, the marching orders, then we come to this, and this gives us more detail, gives us the charge specifically of how we are to go about doing that. And so that's where we're going to get our 4 points this morning, is extracting these from here. The first one, essentially, is who we are. We've covered this, but we'll mention it. And then we'll go down through the final three, and this is essentially what we're doing. Okay? So the first one is who we are. It's our identity. And then the final three are meant to be the task or the action or how we become ambassadors. Number one is this. I've just said it. We are ambassadors. We need to be clear on that. We need to be pristinely clear that we all, collectively, nobody is set aside to be more of an ambassador than anyone else. As a believer in Christ, we are all equally called to be ambassadors. Now, I'm using the term ambassadors, but let's change that and make it feel a little more uncomfortable. We all equally are called to be sharers, evangelists, to be witnesses in the lost world. Now, that one's uncomfortable. I get it. But it all means the same thing. You can't be an ambassador if you're not witnessing, if you're not sharing your faith, the testimony. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have memorized all of the theology. You don't need to prepare for the what ifs. You just need to share what God's done in your life. That's the greatest testimony. And no matter what the world may do, they're going to begin to attack us. They're going to be antagonists toward all the things that we claim. There's no surprise or shock in that. The world stands against us primarily because it's controlled by the enemy, the devil, Satan, who stands against everything that God does. And so we shouldn't be surprised by that. But what we are is to go share the truth. And while we may not understand all of the different aspects of it, what we can claim with clarity is what God's done to us. Nobody can dispute that. They can argue scripture and whether that was meant to be this or if that was meant to be that, whatever. They can argue theology with us. Is your way of doing church more correct than theirs? Listen, they can argue all of those things, but what they can't argue is the change and the transformation that is evident in your life because of God. And so that's what we share. We come alongside those. We become ambassadors. We take pride in the calling that God has placed in our life. And the whole idea of this, all of us are equally, don't let anyone lie to you and say that being a witness is a gift that God gives you, and he only gives it to certain people, so you've been spared of that. That's not true. When you look at Matthew chapter 28, when you look here, neither one of those places and an abundant list of others are not saying those who are called to be evangelists, those who have the gift of preaching, those who have the call to be a missionary are tasked with this duty. No, we all are. By the very nature of what God's done in our life, we're meant to be witnesses in this world. And that not only means you and I, but it also means every church. That's why I go back. Everything that we do as a church, everything we invest energy in, whether it be money or time, needs to come back to this principle of us sharing the gospel with the lost world. Because if we're not doing that, then what's the difference between us and a social club that just gathers once a week, gets a little pep talk, spends time fellowshipping, but it doesn't really mean anything? That's the difference between what we are and what the world is. We're here because we love Christ. He's changed us. And every week, we're celebrating that. And even though this time of year is the season of the Savior, every day, every moment of our life is the season of our Savior. This is just the time of year where the whole world opens their doors to this. And so what we live the rest of the year gives opportunity to now share those truths. So being an ambassador, that's number one. Number two is this. Now we kind of walk through how we do this. Well, number two is this. We are changed. We've talked about being transformed. I mean, Paul makes this very clear in verse 16 and 17 when he talks about how we no longer from the human point of view. Now, we've talked about worldview and Christian worldview and a secular worldview. You are familiar with all of those terms. And what we mean by that worldview, just to review you or to give you a tip here, is how we see things. So if Christ is in us, he's the most important thing that's part of our life. He defines who we are and how we see things. Then that evidently has to change the way we see other people, including him. And so as a lost person, you see things one way. As a believer, you see things another way. We're changed. That becomes evidence of the power of transformation that God has. He's great enough and divine enough and powerful enough to change us, but he never leaves us the same. He's always working. There's always a place he's wanting to move us to. There's always a better perspective we need to arrive at. There's always sin that we're struggling with and relationships that are difficult and strained. He is always working through us. And as a believer, let me just insert this here. We have to be teachable. What does that mean? We need to be changeable. We need to be cautious that we don't build up some kind of armor around us, that we keep God's ability to change us. And what keeps us from being changeable? Fear, oftentimes. Lack of understanding. We don't have the right perception of things. Maybe we have a hardened heart towards something. All of those, and there are a bunch of others, that can be resistors to keep us from being changed. What we need to pray for every single day is that we are changeable, that we acknowledge that God is working. And it's not always, let me say this also, it doesn't always come, the call for change doesn't always come on Sunday morning during a sermon. Sometimes it happens when you're driving your car and you're listening to something, or someone says something to you, or a situation occurs, and your reaction to that, God now begins to work through you, to firm you up, or to change you, whatever it may be. He is always changing us, and we're the walking testimony of God's power to change you. The world needs to hear that, because most people, when it comes down to it, aren't happy with their sin, and so the good news of the gospel is that we can be forgiven and now be changed through that. So we're changed. Number three is this. So we've said we're ambassadors. We've kind of set that one up front. And then we've said the way that we are ambassadors is our change. Number three is this, is that we are hopeful. Okay, now what do we mean by that? Is that we have hope in eternal glory. That no matter what may be happening in the world, in the chaos, and the difficulties, and the strains of this world, we have hope. And what comes as a close connector to hope is joy. We have hope and joy. We have joy and hope, however you want to say it. But we can look at the fears that the world faces, and we have hope not in a president, not in the calamities that we see in the chaos. We have hope in our Savior, and only in our Savior, and the work that he does in us and through us and around the world. And we know, no matter what happens in this world, I mean, I know you all have been paying attention. We were talking about this earlier. If it's not drones, then it's the fear of an uprising in January. And if you're following social media pretty close, which I advise you not to, they're telling us there's going to be some great catastrophic event weeks away that's going to disrupt everything in life that we know. There is enough going on that we could walk around in constant fear just like the world. But you and I are set apart and different because Christ has come into our life. Our hope is in him. How do you become an ambassador in this desperate world if you yourself don't exhibit that hope. Because when it comes down to it, you strip away everything else that we talk about as far as salvation, it ultimately deposits into the idea of hope. We have hope that what we've heard about the Messiah is right. We have hope that what He's told us to forgive us of our sins, and that when we stand before God one day in judgment, we hope that His blood was enough to cover our sin. We hope that we've been obedient to do the work that He's called us to do. We hope that our life has been pleasing to Him. And every day as we learn to love Him more, we hope that He finds that and sees that. Our salvation is centered around the hope in what God promises. And if we can't live that and show that, then how can we tell the world about the great news of Christ and what He does? Not just the power to change, but the power to give us hope, to renew us, to give us joy in the midst of chaos. Number four and finally is this: we're ambassadors, as we've said. And so how are we ambassadors? We're changed. We're hopeful. And then number four, you'll see on this, and again, this is one that I think is important, because when you take that kind of bird's eye view of this passage, all of this is culminating into a decision we have to make, and that is to be obedient. We are obedient. That's how we become ambassadors, is that we're not quantifying whether or not we think somebody deserves to hear the truth or whether or not they deserve God's love. That's not up to you and I. We are just simply the messengers. And whoever comes through the doors, wherever it is that we go, whoever crosses our path, we have the responsibility to be obedient in being the ambassadors. That's what marks the church's mission. It's not decided by us. We're just simply to lay out that truth and let God use that. And again, that goes back. We don't save anybody. You know that. It's not through our power. No matter how great of a persuader you are, the power of persuasion for someone to come to Christ is not you. It's the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can't force anybody to do that. It has to be touched by the Holy Spirit into their life. And that's how they begin to understand that truth. The Bible's very clear on that. That's what happened in your life. No matter what the circumstance of you coming to terms with salvation, it all comes back to the Holy Spirit calling you. And He calls you to salvation. So our obedience is to honor God and to be the messenger of this truth, to be obedient no matter what we may think. And I said earlier, the unlovable. Listen, I don't know. This last year, none of y'all, let me just say this, but I've come in contact with more unlovable people than I probably have in a lot of years. But it's not up to me to decide whether or not, because of their resistance to the truth, that then I can just mark their name off the list. It's not about effort and getting credit for it. It's about being obedient. And even in spite of your sinful logic mind telling you it's a waste of time, when God's calling you to do it, it's not a waste of time. You be persistent. You continue. You continue to love and to be the messenger and to share the truth. And ultimately, as we've said, be the ambassador. So we've talked about this. I think we all understand we need a Savior. The world needs a Savior. We have a Savior. That's the story we need to tell. And this all ends up that what we do is we share this with the lost world in everything that we do as a church, as well as an individual. Father, thank You this morning. As we wrap this series up, as we're kind of on the doorway into this crazy week. I know our family has traveling and all different things that'll take place this week. It truly, in my mind, is the calm before the storm that some of us get wrapped up in. But God, I pray that as we sit in this calm moment, that peace, that joy, that comfort we've talked about, that idea of hope would now begin to overshadow just the sometimes frustrations that we go through during a week like this. And to be reminded that in the midst of this, we have a higher calling, a greater responsibility than anything else, and that is to be Your ambassador. Maybe this week we're going to come in contact with that family member that we just don't really care for. They're lost. They need to know the truth of Christ. And in spite of our personal opinions, we now begin to share and love them. Give us power to do that. Give us, Father, strength and power in the midst of the chaos of this world. And sometimes the misuse of the season of our Savior that we see happening in our culture. Help us to, through that, continue to use this as an opportunity to share the truth of who Christ is. And in everything that we do, everything that we say. Now, God, this morning as we come to our time of invitation, as I mentioned, there may be some who've never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. If they're here, we're going to move into a time of commitment. And I'm going to invite them to come down and share with me that they're at that point. They're ready. They're ready to accept, to surrender to Christ as their Messiah. And so what we're going to do there is put them with somebody who can then maybe explain it a little bit more clearly and help them to understand just what that decision is. Now, Father, for the rest of us, I pray that as we deal with all of the hectic nature in our world, that we would come back to that foundation. This is the season of our Savior. We needed a Savior. You sent a Savior. We have a Savior, and now we understand we have the responsibility to share that Savior. Now, God, bless us as we now spend time in responding to you. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?